to the Marketing Major Pod with Elaine and Emmanuel. And today we have
Alex Zhivkovich.
And she is someone who does everything from marketing to design to strategy to making NFTs. And we're so excited to have her on the pod today because she actually is our first student guest. And if you would also like to be a student guest, hit us up on our Instagram at marketingmajor.mp3 and we can see if we can slot you in. So without further ado, let's just jump right into it. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
First of all, thank you for having me. It's a big honor and I'm really excited to be here. A little bit about myself. Obviously, my name is Alex. I'm a photographer, digital designer, and 3D artist. So I'm a full-time creative. I'm also in my last year of marketing here at the U of A. And I'm also the co-founder and creative director of Dazed, which is a design and marketing studio.
Tell us a little bit about Dazed.
So Dazed is a full-service creative agency, and we basically specialize in elevating brands. And I know I use the word brand a lot, but really that's anything from like an athlete to a small startup to a big enterprise. So our focus is really on like future forward marketing. And to me, that means like creating experiences and visual experiences that are good today, but that'll also be relevant tomorrow and with tomorrow's audience. So we started pretty much because my co-founder is a professional athlete and there was this kind of surge in professional athletes that were looking to expand their brand out of sport. And he's really passionate about bringing the transition between athletes like into their out of sport world. So we kind of started with creating merch, logos, websites for these athletes, and it grew from there. And now we kind of cover every industry almost, from like fashion, food, healthcare, everything. So,
well, I guess what started your passion for design and marketing and going in this route?
Honestly, I've always been like a creative person. I feel like everybody says that, but I've never taken any art classes or anything, and I was never good at drawing or painting or anything like traditional. So when I discovered like design and Photoshop, that was like a whole new world for me. And it was more the focus on like what I'm putting out and the story of what I'm putting out instead of like how I'm doing it, like how good I am at painting or drawing. So that story switched and now it's like more of the story behind everything. And that's kind of what we focus on in Dazed too, is like we care about who's behind the brand, because like the modern consumer also cares about who's behind the brand, who are they supporting, like what's their personality, what's their story. Like they don't want to see just like generic stuff. They want to know who's behind it. And that's kind of something we focus a lot with our clients and with our brands.
Your guys' company's named Dazed. And you said your co-founder was a professional athlete before. And I know that there is a sports network called The Zone. Mm-hmm. So did the name Dazed kind of get influenced by that?
You know what? That's funny you asked that, because later we did realize that there was a sports segment with Dazed is our initials combined. So that's how we came up with it.
Okay.
And it ended up sticking because I feel like it just sounds like, I don't know, like Dazed, like you're kind of in this mindset, like this new state. And that's kind of like what we try to bring our clients to, from like where they started to where they want to be. So it's almost like this mental kind of transformation that we do with brands.
You talked about the modern consumer and the future consumer. Who is the future consumer and like what do they want? What are they looking for?
They want transparency. They want personality. And we see this a lot through TikTok, actually, where you get marketing on TikTok. Like if you can tell it's an ad, I feel like they don't like that. They want to know who's behind it, like the story, like they want to know who you support. Obviously, this comes into like a lot with like politics and stuff like that. They obviously want to know who this person is. Can they relate to them? Should they support them? Is this someone in real life that they would be friends with? Like this is like with influencers and stuff. So we really try to focus on being relevant with these consumers and also being relatable.
Did you always want to work in the design and marketing industry, or did you have other plans?
I think I always knew I wanted to be an artist, but now like as time went on and through school, I've actually realized that there is a really great connection between marketing and art that you can utilize like to your favor. And that's kind of what I've been doing. I think I've always known, like even before I really knew what marketing was, I think I've always loved it. And like there's always this joke that I was able to like sell anything to any of my friends. But me personally, like I don't need too much convincing to buy anything. So maybe that's true or maybe it isn't. But I think before I even realized like that marketing was so much about psychology and like understanding the product or understanding your audience, I think I was always able to kind of connect my art with it. Cause like I feel like with art, there's always a story being told, and that's kind of similar with marketing. And that's just really something that honestly through my classes I've learned a lot, has been really helpful like to apply to the real world.
And if you said you've always known, but let's say you had to pick something else, what would you pick?
You know what? I think there was a point in time where I wanted to be like a vet, which is really random and doesn't make any sense at all. But I think when we were all in like kindergarten, we were asked that question and just nothing close to that. Yeah. Fair.
I mean, I guess a little more expanding. If you had to pick a different major, if you had to stay in business, pick a different major, what would you pick?
Honestly, I will say this. My major before marketing was fashion business management and ALES. And I loved that. And I loved like kind of merging things. So I think if it wasn't marketing, it'd probably be SEM or something to do with that. I feel like I was never really interested in the accounting finance part of it. I always knew I wanted something more creative.
Why did you choose to start Days? Like what was the reason behind it?
So about 2 years ago, I think I started photographing basketball games with the Edmonton Stingers. And honestly, I kind of noticed that within the whole league of the CBL, there's a lot of athletes that just wanted to be more than an athlete. They wanted to be like an entrepreneur too, and they just didn't know how to expand and they needed that help. So this is kind of like where I came in, where at first I started with like creating their own logos that they could use on like hats or merch. And then eventually it was like websites. And then it was like creating programs for future student athletes, like how to get into these schools, especially in the States. And like, these are resources that are really valuable. And like, they just needed someone who knew the creative mind of it all to help them put it out. And that's also when I met my co-founder through this. And then we just decided, hey, like this really worked for him. Like we created this whole brand for him. Let's do it for everyone else. And it was like through word of mouth and like everyone else, like his teammates and in the league, we were able to actually get a lot of these athletes equipped with the right tools and the right like marketing skill set to grow their brand, like not only as an athlete, but with their transition out of sports too, because the ball will stop bouncing one day. And that's basketball specifically, because that's pretty much the bulk of who I work with. And yeah, this just really helped them. Also like with the Edmonton Prospects baseball, that's kind of where I started with sports as well. And I just kind of noticed that there was so much opportunity in sports to bring them to more of an entrepreneurial mindset. And this was like a great thing for me as a creative that didn't know much about sports at the time, but I feel like we merged that. And now it's like really a really solid thing for athletes. And we focus a lot on that transition. That's kind of why we started it. And then it grew into everything else.
So coming off of that though, you said that you started this because of athletes wanting to be entrepreneurs and stuff. Working in the industry right now, do you see other people that are in different industries that also want to venture out into entrepreneurship, and like how do you think they should start? Or
We've definitely seen like across so many industries, people, like I'll give you an example. For example, dentists and optometrists and professional services like that, we find that they want to create more of a brand or more of a personality for themselves through social media especially. So not like to become the influencer like term that we all kind of know, but they want like more of a personality so that their audience, especially their younger audience, can find them. Because like, where did Gen Z like find their like professional services? Like, I don't know, you see on TikTok like a dentist and you're like, oh cool, they're in my area, like I'm gonna go there. So it's really been working like that. And also I feel like, to answer the second part of your question, how should they start? I feel like you don't need to have everything fully figured out to start. I think if you are a professional service, or like for example, you're a baker and you wanna start like a YouTube channel or something, you kind of just go with what you have and you learn along the way. That's kind of been the best advice, because I feel like there's this kind of barrier that you feel like everything has to be perfect before you actually put something out, but it doesn't. You really just have to start. And then I know that's like cliche advice, but it's so true and it works, because consistency really is key. And we've had success in growing a lot of YouTube channels for people just like this, that just like start out of nowhere. And then maybe you look back and you're like, okay, that wasn't perfect, but I've learned so much from it that now I can apply that and I can grow. And I've kind of grown as like this personality, as this brand. And now my audience is like my ideal client.
Well, I did see one on TikTok about a dentist, and I think it was like one of the nurses or something. And I was like, I would go there just because, right? They were, yeah, like funny and like relatable somehow. But
exactly, it makes them like stand out, right?
You've talked a decent bit about branding and personal branding. So would you argue that your personal brand is more important than the company brand at this point, if everyone's wanting to become an entrepreneur or be more than an athlete or more than your dentist's office or whatever, would you argue that the personal aspect is coming to the forefront? Because I think in ages past, everyone cared more about the, or not, sorry, everyone cared less about the corporation and who was behind it. But now everyone cares a lot more about who they're buying from.
No, you're totally right. That's definitely something that I see and I agree with, is it's definitely coming forward. Who is this person? And branding, especially if you are the owner of something, like, it's different than if you just work for someone. Then I think you would still want a personal brand, but you're less kind of focused on pushing out your business through it. But if you're the owner of something, of your own business, you definitely want to start on your personal brand, because that's what is going to have that attachment to your audience, that personal attachment. And that's what's really going to drive your sales and drive your reach and growth, is if you can build that kind of relatability. And even if you show them like how you got there, because we're kind of in an age where everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. So if you show them like through your experience, like what it took you to get to where you are, even just like that educational content through social media and branding really helps you build like that personal brand. And I do think personal brand is important. And I do think that there should be a level of separation between your actual like business and your personal brand, but I think they should definitely be connected. Like, I don't think that, like, I know it's like people are people, they're not brands. Like, I know that's a thing that a lot of marketers talk about, but I do think it's important to like understand who you are as a person, understand what you want your company to be, and then find a way to merge those in a way that it still feels authentic to you. Like, not that you're like faking it, or not that you're pushing out like this kind of fake personal brand type thing.
Do you think we're going to have a problem in a few years where, because I think almost everyone our age is on social media in some capacity. So when people want to start their personal brands or want to start doing other stuff more professionally, and their digital footprint is going to catch up to them, like, do you think we're going to see sort of like a digital footprint revolution, so to speak, where like all the nonsense people posted when they were kids is going to come back to haunt them in a probably relatively soon, I'd say? Because like, even I posted cringe stuff on YouTube when I was like 12. So granted, like, it's all deleted now, but nothing's really gone.
I was going to say, let's go find it.
Been very thorough in cleaning off. I'm very careful to not put like my actual, like my legal name on anything I use. So all my anything, you can look up Ojo on YouTube, Twitch, whatever. You're not going to find me, because I'm very intentional about not being found on those.
No, I do think that digital footprint is a big topic of discussion. I think this is something that should be taught more, like in schools especially. And I kind of see that everyone wants to be an influencer, everyone wants to be this. But over time, I think all that's going to do really is change kind of the landscape where marketing is. Like, we're seeing a surge in micro influencers, where it's like people are more likely to influence their friends to buy something than they are to be influenced by like a huge influencer. It's like this kind of trend where it's like, I feel like everyone can share bits and parts of their life, and that could be really cool and a really good thing to do. It'd almost be like a online resume type thing, if you look at it like that. What do you guys think? Do you think there's going to be like too much, be oversaturated?
Well, it's kind of the same with Ojo. I try, like, I use social media and stuff, but I'm more of a private person. I don't show too much of my private life, but yeah, I just kind of watch what I put. I don't really trust like what you guys are saying. Like, it could catch up to you, but it's not like I'm doing anything illegal. But yeah, I just, but it's also like, what are you doing though? If you're young, I get you're going to do stupid stuff. But right now, I feel like people just want to blow up, and they can get a job out of that, which is good. But I don't know. It's good and bad.
Yeah. It's definitely like the thing between, do you just want to blow up to blow up, or do you want to blow up to get some good ideas out there?
Yeah. And we had, in my marketing class this morning, we had a guest, and she talked about how some companies just pay for your ad, like boosted ad, right? So it's like, you see them like blow up, but like, is that organic?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. So I don't know, like, hearing that, I'm like, now when I look at stuff, it's like, okay, was this organic or was it just paid? And like, for just people in general, like, do they do that themselves? Like, you see these influencers like get these big like views on their TikToks or whatever. It's like, okay, like, was that organic or was that paid now? to just get more views. So
yeah, I agree. I think it's going to catch up to more people than they think it will. Maybe unintentionally, because I feel sometimes, like obviously, yeah, if you record you doing something with your friends or whatever, it's intentional. But sometimes people record strangers in public all the time. So like you do something that you think is mundane, whatever, somebody clips it on TikTok, you go viral. In terms of being organic, I think it's weird because I know sometimes TikTok puts like a little sponsored box in the bottom corner, but sometimes I'll see like regular, like normal TikToks in the sponsored thing, and I'm like, it's kind of sad, you know? I'm like, you're a regular person. You got like a couple thousand likes, which on TikTok isn't, I wouldn't put in the viral category. And you paid for this? Like, I don't know. So I think it's not a problem yet. I think it's going to become a problem for a decent amount of people. But personally, I'm mostly private with my stuff. Like I use like the private stories or close friends feature, whatever. I don't really post too much like publicly, intentionally, on my mysterious vibe. But yeah, it's just it's a conversation I think needs to be had more often.
Yeah. And it's interesting how you said that, like that part where you said they film people in public, because I saw this thing that was like, we're all going to become actors in someone's movie, like without even knowing. We're all just going to be part of like these videos without us even knowing like what we're doing in public. We're just going to be on the internet, which is also like a scary thing to think about.
For real, because I was going to Mexico in the summer and I get a snap from my friend randomly. I don't think anything of it. And I open it and it's a video of me at the airport. And I was like, I didn't even know that he was there either. Just by chance, he happened to, we're both flying on the same day.
Thanks for saying hi.
Yeah, like bro, his first response, like everyone's first response when something happens now is to take out your phone and record it instead of like actually engaging in the moment. So not that I was upset that he didn't say hi, whatever. Obviously we talked after, but I was just like, dang, if this could have been a random person, right? And I would never, but the thing is, I would never see that video. Not that I was doing anything. I was just putting my stuff like through the scanner or whatever. But it's just, there's probably a ton of moments that happen throughout the day that we don't think of that people probably captured us in.
Yeah.
You know? It's crazy to think about how many pictures and videos you're, aside from like security footage, that you're in on a daily basis. So.
But like, I don't know. For me though, there is some, I don't know, not like good in a sense that you shouldn't take photos of people or videos without their consent, but like street photography, mm-hmm. like I love looking at those, just seeing like mundane stuff.
Same.
That's like a good thing about it, but like if it's for the wrong reason, then it'll be bad. But if it's just to take pictures of people in their everyday lives, then I don't know, I like looking at them.
Agreed. I mean, yeah, I'm not trying to say keep a phone in your pocket, never pull it out. Like, you can still have fun. I'm just saying, like, be aware.
And the landscape's going to change when we are going to be able to take videos, like, with our glasses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it'll be super discreet.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Well, that is somewhat related to our next question, which is, AI seems to drive, like, business operations in our world right now. So how is AI impacted your work, and do you use AI in your work?
I do use AI, and I think AI is like a scary term for a lot of people and especially a lot of creatives. But I will say that I do use AI on a daily basis in many different aspects, and I think that the best part about it is if you're using it not to replace you but to help you streamline your process and just make you more efficient. So some examples are like Photoshop just released like generative fill in AI, and that's been like a lifesaver when it comes to photo editing and just creating designs. And also Lightroom has released a bunch of AI features that have made photo editing like so much easier. When you have like thousands of photos, you can kind of batch edit them and the AI just kind of reads the photos. So that's been like way easier. And I think like I always hear like AI will take your job, but I don't think AI itself will take your job. But I think that the jobs that are a threat will be taken by someone using AI like to better make their process efficient. So it's not really like the threat is at the designers of today. The designers of tomorrow are definitely going to be using AI to help them be more efficient and just have all these things faster, because there's so many tasks in design and especially photography that are like repetitive and it's just like annoying and kind of like you wish you could shortcut it and get to like the actual art. So that's kind of how I use it. And we also use it in like copywriting ads and creating like website. Like a lot of website builders have like magic text, right? Where they kind of like help you get inspired on what to write for like website about pages and stuff like that. So it's been really helpful and it helps streamline our process for sure.
Well, I do agree with that. Like you have to know, if you want to keep your job, you have to know how to use AI now. Yeah. Like no. I agree with that. Like it's not necessarily going to take your job, but if you don't know how to use it, then you're kind of out. But in terms of like how you said, it's not necessarily impacting creative work. How do you, well, the whole thing over the summer with like actors and stuff and like the, I don't know, the league, the, I don't know, the people that want to replace like writers and stuff with AI.
You know, there is like a huge issue with copyright and AI and like, yeah. Especially with like the DALL-E, I think it's called. Basically where they take art and you take art that's copyrighted and they create new things based off AI and like prompts. That's like a huge issue in the creative industry. It's like this art's pretty much being stolen and the artists are not being compensated for it. So I definitely think like while this is new and developing, there has to be laws in place and like regulations for sure to protect the work of creatives and make sure that everyone's fairly compensated.
I think another scary use of AI is like deepfakes.
Yeah.
Which I'm seeing more and more with like, I guess more so with like influencers, people are deepfaking them into whatever scenarios or whatever. But sometimes they're so good, I actually can't like tell anymore. It's at the point where I can't tell if this is a deep, like before a few years ago, I was like, okay, like you can tell this is obviously an edited video, but now it's like, it's almost scary how close it is. And I'm like, am I going to end up in a deepfake? Like, because some of my friends are really good with AI and stuff like that. So I'll say something and they'll like edit me into a meme a few minutes. Like they'll put my face on something. So it's like, okay.
You never stood a chance.
Yeah, so it's like, I can't even roast people over text anymore without being edited into something. So it's like, it's going to get bad very, very fast. That's that's a little aside though. That's a tangent. How y'all feel about deepfakes?
The deepfake thing is scary. I don't know if you saw Kendall Jenner. There's basically this new, like, I guess, chat platform where it's like a deep fake of celebrities and they will chat with you. Like, I think it's like,
oh,
did you see that?
Wait, no. Hold on. Because I've seen this one dude like married his AI girlfriend. maybe it was on one of those. Yeah. So it's like, I've been generating entire like people now, which is still quite sad. So you've tried a ton of things in your career so far, photography, 3D art, design, yada, yada, yada. Which do you like the most and why?
I'm definitely a photographer at heart. I feel like that's like my first love. But my favorite thing lately has been 3D art because it's still like not mainstream in the art and design world. It's such a steep learning curve with these programs. I feel like it's so cool to explore and see how like you can bring value to like these ads today. And I feel like a lot of brands have been starting to catch on. I don't know if you guys saw that mascara ad where like a huge mascara and then like a...
Was that in London?
Yeah, did like, you see okay, that? Yeah. So that's like 3D generated, like computer generated. And that's like that kind of stuff that like brands can start using more and more of. And I have a lot of fun with that and learning how to do that. And speaking of deepfakes, on the other topic, have you guys heard of like Lil Miquela?
No.
So she's like a computer generated influencer.
Oh.
She's also kind of made with these 3D programs. That's like, I feel like that's, you've seen some of what I do is like these people that I make.
Yeah.
So I guess I make like little, like those computer generated influencers too. And if you're interested in seeing these like computer generated people that I make, you can see them on my Instagram at Alex Sivko.
So I guess piggybacking off the last question, what is your favorite or least favorite or both? Favorite project you've worked on and why?
So recently in the photography world, I've had 3 billboards up in Toronto. So that's been some of my favorite projects this year. Also on Alex Sivko, you can see that on Instagram. And I went to actually visit them and it was really cool to see your work like on such a big screen. So that was like definitely a pinch me moment.
Where were those billboards?
In Toronto Eaton Centre.
Are they still up?
No, they were for Spotify and Amazon. So I think it's like New Music Friday. And I did it for a bunch of like local recording artists that, yeah. And then design work, we did a campaign for stickers for Once a Month, which is like a UK-based program that aims to end period poverty. So it was really cool to be part of something that like brings about change and awareness. And that was a lot of fun because they're really like eye-catching and like Gen Z type design, so that I had a lot of fun with that.
Sorry, what is stickers exactly?
Like stickers.
Like
physical stickers.
Yeah. Okay. I thought that was the company name. Okay.
No, the company's called Once a Month, and they're pretty much based around like 6 universities in England, I think, and they're student-led initiative, and they just aim to end period poverty and kind of like that all genders bleed. Like they just want to raise awareness and bring resources.
Yeah, I was lost. Okay. My fault. But you don't have like a least favorite or not?
You know what? I will say that as a creative, you work with so many different people, and it's always a lot more difficult when you feel like you don't have, or when you feel like you don't have the same vision to execute someone's vision, it becomes kind of harder. So I think I'm a lot more selective with what I take on these days. Whereas before, I felt like if I didn't take something on, like I'd never make it, like I'd never pay the bills or whatever. So now I'm like super selective. I really make sure that I have a connection with the person and that I feel like our vision matches. Because if it doesn't, it just becomes like you lose, you feel bad about your work and they don't get what they want. So I'd say like my least favorite projects have been, in the end, like everyone's happy, but it just takes longer and it's a more frustrating process. And that's like a piece of advice as well, is like, don't take on everything that comes to you. Take on stuff that you feel connected to, because sometimes it could feel like the biggest opportunity of your life. But if you're not connected with this person, or like, for example, it could be like this huge artist that I love listening to, whatever. But if I just like feel like I can't contribute to their vision, then it will just hurt me to take that project on, because I'm creating something that I won't be proud of at the end of the day. And then they're not maybe getting like something that they were envisioning. So it doesn't really give me a good image. So I will say that least favorite projects are hard, but it all comes down to who you work with. At the end of the day, this is like a people business.
That is a very safe answer. That's good though. I mean, that's a little nugget of knowledge for everyone listening.
Well, there's something I wanted to add to that question is, how did you, for creatives listening and want to get into what you're doing, how did you get your work out there to be recognized and work with these people? And like you said, you have to have a connection, but how did you meet like the people who got your photograph on in Toronto, like billboards?
You know, a lot of it is connections. I feel like everybody you meet, you don't, and I know people talk about networking, and like, I feel like networking, not in the traditional sense, but more of like networking, like you never know who is going to end up being your client. But like, to be more specific about that question, it's pitching cold emails a lot, honestly. Like, you're just going to find talent managers and like managers of the people you want to work with. You write out an email, you include your portfolio, you kind of talk about what you feel like you can contribute to them, and you send it out to like a million people, not a million people, like 50 people a day or something. Maybe that's dramatic, but that's what I used to do. And then you won't get everyone replying to you, but you will get like maybe 1, 2, 3, like 10 replies from that, and you could get work from that. And then even if it's not like their time to work with you, they'll like point you to someone else that you can work with, and they'll point you to someone else. And if they're happy, it just kind of grows like that. So it's like organic, and Instagram has like been a big thing for me. And that's kind of why I talk about personal brand a lot, especially on Instagram, is because people are always looking at your profile and they're looking for like, does this relate to like who I am, what I want? So it's important to kind of show personality too, because the way I get like a lot of these projects is people just feel like you kind of are one of them, like you kind of understand their style, like stuff like that. And that's why they want to work with you as a designer. But it definitely is like just cold email, like a bunch of people. And I know a lot of people don't like to talk about that, but you just got to send all these emails out and then hope for the best, because you won't get replies from everybody, but the people that will reply, like those will really propel your career forward for sure.
That was some good advice.
Be nice to everyone in your class. You don't know who's going to blow up.
I've actually had past classmates who are my clients.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like, if you are like, this is a tip of advice, I guess, be a good group member, because a lot of my group members are now my clients. And we were group members too, right?
Yeah, we were group members.
So see, like, it's all like about, like, I'd never be here right now if we weren't group members.
Fair. That's true. Since we got on the topic of group members and classes, what is your favorite marketing class, and what do you think is the most useful class you've taken in your degree?
I had to think about this one a bit, but I think it's 470, Mark 470, Selling and Sales Management. Okay, but hear me out. I'm super introverted, and I feel like with clients, this is like a big thing for me, is like when you're giving proposals and when you're like presenting to clients, like I was kind of shy and like I don't like presenting at all. And that class really pushed me to learn just like these tactics of, I guess, sales, but sales and marketing are kind of go hand in hand, and how to do these proposals and how to just be good at it. So I owe a lot to that class. And I think the most useful class, which is a controversial one, is Biz 201 for sure.
Oh, what?
I hated it, but I use it every single day.
I can't.
You guys have to hear me out.
Okay, well, I'll hear you out. I'll hear you out.
Biz 201 was like such a heavy class so early on for me, but I use it every single day. Like the principles and things I learned there, from putting together client proposals to presentations to like innovation to every single thing that was in that like, what, 30 page assignment that we had to put together. Like, I swear I use it all the time. And even when I was in Biz 201, one of the presenters said it was their most useful class. Like, rolled my eyes. I was like, no way. But it ended up being, this is the most useful class for sure. Like, by far.
Well, I don't remember when you took it, but they changed it last year.
Oh, they did?
So last year it was only, it was a stupid class for me, not gonna lie. But our main project was just basically like a business presentation, like off a case. So we didn't do what you did, which I heard this with like other students who are like fourth year who graduate as well. It's like it was better when you guys took it, mm-hmm. because like you learned all these different things. Yeah. But for us, it was basically just learning how to present. And like we kind of just consulted. That was it. Like, honestly, like some of the speakers were nice, but I would say it's just a waste of my tuition, not gonna lie.
Honestly, I'm relieved for you guys in a way that it's not as bad now, but I will say that it kind of felt like being thrown into the fire like so early on in business school. But that's kind of what I loved about it, is you learned so much so fast and you just kind of had to like figure it out as you went along. And it's honestly like stuff that I use every single day running a business, running Dazed. Which I hate to say it, but it is.
Ojo, your opinion?
What do you think?
I got a lot to say about Biz 201, yo. First of all, I guess it was unlucky because I had it like right when COVID hit. So it was online in my basement. Everyone was kind of still figuring out how to do the whole online school thing.
I think we had it the same time, didn't we?
Did we have the same time? Maybe we did. Oh, yeah, we did. Okay. We were in the same 201. I was.
So interesting how we have like different perspectives on it.
Yeah, because. So we were actually in the same 201 class. My perspective is clearly not as positive as yours was. Shout out to my group members. Y'all, I don't even know if y'all even are still here or graduated. I've seen some of y'all around on campus. They're cool. They're cool people. The class, though, stinks. I'm sorry. First of all, the way they do the TAs or the seminar leaders, whatever they're called, garbage. They were like 1 year older than us. And maybe I just got unlucky that mine was just rude and plotless, but also the whole prof, he didn't really teach us anything. He would just pull up in a Zoom for like 5 minutes and be like, okay, here's our guest lecturer, and then leave. And not even like leave, he would go to sleep, because sometimes the guest lecturer would finish and then we would see him like getting up out of bed and like putting his shirt back on. So it was just, so my experience, I learned absolutely nothing in terms of course material in Biz 201. Did I learn how to like write proposals and innovation and stuff and how to work with people? Yes. Do I think it's a good class? No. I think it's probably the most annoying class I've ever taken in my whole degree. Like the most tedious class I've taken in my whole degree, maybe second to OM 420. But that's like, if you're an OM major or minor, that's probably the hardest OM class you'll ever take. That's literally why I dropped my OM minor. But... yeah, 201 stinks, long story short, for me at least.
No, I do agree with you about the course materials. I think they could be better, but the project itself was so intense, especially if you were like the group leader, which I feel like I always am in a sense. I kind of just took it on by myself pretty much. I didn't have the best luck with the group members, so that's like another thing, you kind of learn how to deal with people. But honestly, in most marketing classes you learn how to deal with people that you might not like mesh with the best. But this one like really just taught me a lot of the proposals and just like building a business from start to finish, pretty much.
Wait, do you know how 201 used to be, like, structured, or?
Luckily, I had a good TA, so he, like, I kind of talked to him about it. And, like, he had it, like, your guys' way, where it was still, like, business proposal and, like, learn all these other things. But, like, for us, it was literally, like, we were given, like, a main case. That was what our whole project was about. And it's basically just consulting. Like, and then, we have to provide a solution for them with this, the problem that they had. And then, like, I like the way we partnered with Downtown Edmonton, right? Downtown Edmonton about, just how to revitalize Downtown Edmonton, get more people again. Mm-hmm. And, like, I like the case, but I didn't, like, for you guys, it was a lot of stuff. For me, I feel like it was too little, and I didn't learn as much as I would like given the amount I paid for that class. So it was not worth it in that sense. Yeah. Like, I wish I got to learn more stuff, actually. Like, what you said, like, learning how to do a business proposal, I would have loved to do that. Like, because I actually... you just rolled your eyes. But, I mean, it sounds like it's a lot, but, like, at least I would take away something from it. But, like, when I did it, I was like, okay, I could have learned that doing a case competition by
myself. That's true.
You know what I mean? Like...
Kind of sounds like a lot of the marketing classes are like marketing 312 almost, like what you explained with the case.
She's kind of like a consulting.
Yeah.
You got a case in 312?
Did you not?
Nah, we had like...
Well, this is like a great, we're just all figuring out that we just had different experiences completely.
My 312 was with Web Dusom, shout out, actually like one of my favorite profs on campus. Because it's marketing research, right? Yeah, so we partnered with, you got to choose... like a bunch of different, there's a bunch of different like partners, and you choose the corporation you want to work with, and they give you a task. So we were working with the Voices of Albertans with Disabilities, I think. And they were just like, we want to get research on Albertans with disabilities and like how they like respond to things and how they live in the retail space specifically. So like, is our places accessible? How easy is it to get clothes, stuff like that, yada, yada, yada. So we just did research for them on that. It wasn't really like a case, so to speak, and everyone had different like companies they were working for, which was cool. So ours was, even though we've all taken similar classes, we have completely different experiences for all these classes. I guess it depends on who your prof is. So like, I will say the 201 learning how to write proposal is important. The proposal wasn't the D's part. The D's part is like the final paper, because it was like ours ended up being, shoot, hold on, I still have,
there's like finances of a business that didn't exist.
The task was basically go.
Go, it was like, just go.
Thrown into the fire completely.
Like, it was create a business from scratch and just like figure it out.
I think I also took it more seriously than I should have. Like, I created full mock-ups, like brand mock-ups, everything.
Nah, you should have. ours, I can't find it now. This is, hold on. Okay, our final paper was 38 pages. Yeah, this was not a fun time. Yeah, we did mock-ups for ads, stuff like that. Because we also had like an app, so we ended up, we didn't create an app, but we made fake screenshots of an app. Not a fun time, not a fun project. Like, it's kind of, in hindsight, it's nice. But while I was actually doing it in second year, in peak COVID, I was like, this is terrible. So
it was tough. I'm glad they changed it, kind of. I also heard they changed math.
Math?
You no longer have to take 114.
No, I didn't take 114.
I feel like I was just like...
I took... Yeah.
You got the worst.
I took 154, which was...
Is this math or something?
Yeah, it's still similar, but I'd say it's like math 31 in high school, but slightly harder.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really... Like, if you took math 31 in high school, mm-hmm. and then you take math 154, like, it's... You'll be fine. It's almost the same. Yeah, because too many people failed 114.
Yep.
So they were.
What was 114? Just like basic calculus?
I think it's just Calc 1. But
it was intense because it wasn't just business students. It was like everybody.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know if engineering people have to take it. But.
They were like, the business kids are too stupid. So we got to take their own math class.
No, but bio has their own math class now too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they have their own calculus, I think.
I think they split stats as well, because it used to be 5'1", and now there's a 161 for business.
Yeah. Well, I had to take to be a guinea pig.
I had to take 151, at which actually is my worst class grade to date. Like, I got a C+ in that class. Worst grade of
first that?
Yeah. Actually terrible. I did so good on the midterm. I got like 77, average was like a 60 some, and then I got a 52 on the final. So
mine was definitely 114. It's the worst.
Fair. That's fair. For everything I've heard about that class, I don't blame you. What's your worst class grade?
My worst class grade? I don't, like, I haven't had, like, a worst class. Well, I had my lowest grade, which was accounting.
Which one?
Accounting 311, the first one. Yeah.
If you don't mind sharing, which was?
What?
Like, what was the grade?
What my grade was? A B.
Oh,
it wasn't like bad, but it was like my lowest. But also I was so burnt out by the end of the term. I was just like, I don't really want to study, and honestly I thought it was gonna be curved, but it wasn't.
Yeah,
so I was like, okay, we're gonna just ride the curve. But learned the hard way, didn't read properly, and it was just based off what you actually got. So yeah.
Bless up that finances curve, though, because I would have failed. Maybe not failed. I would have got like a D+. But I think I had a 55 after the second midterm, and I was like scared. I was like, oh, I'm going to fail this class. And then he showed the distribution, and he was like, oh, yeah, that's like a B+. Because all you need is a 35 to get like a C+. And I was like, oh, so everyone's failing this class. shout out finance majors. I don't know how y'all do that. But
built different.
I mean, I've
23-2.
I thought 322 was easier than 311. I did better in 322.
I thought I was going to fail my midterm.
Really?
But I did better than I expected, which is good. And our average was almost 60.
Okay.
Percent. So, and then I asked the prof, he's like, yeah, the average is around like 50s for this class.
Maybe we just had a smart class.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, I did better in 322, honestly.
I heard it was like, you either love it or you hate it.
That's fair.
So I guess we're almost at the very end. So what's next for you? You said you're graduating this year. So yeah, what's next for Alex?
Well, I think it's normal to feel like a little bit of uncertainty knowing you're going to graduate and you're like, what am I going to do? But honestly, I'm more excited to just be able to full-time like devote myself to like days and like all my side hustles than like being like a full-time student and trying to balance everything, because like I kind of miss my sleep. But what's next for me pretty much is, I guess, continue doing everything but more head on. Like, I'm just excited to be done school, honestly, and kind of see where it takes me, where I'm able to put all my time into something and grow like my businesses and see what happens. Are you guys scared of graduating?
I'm kind of like, after this year, I got a year and a half left. So I don't know. Honestly, I kind of want to stay in school because I'm not like scared of graduating. It's more of just, yeah, I don't know.
I kind of feel that. That's like why you go to grad school, because there's like uncertainty. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. My mentor did tell me that when you feel uncertain, it just means that you're creating like your own path and you don't know what's next, versus like you're following someone else's footsteps where you kind of know where every single step is going to take you. So it just means that you're like on your own path. So in a way, it's like a good thing that you kind of feel like that. I feel like that too. So it's like exciting to see what's next and like what life's going to bring you.
I think that's a really good point, because the rest of our lives has kind of been following someone else's path. It's like, oh, grow up, you start going to school, and then you do school for however many years I've been in school, which is, I don't want to disclose. So like you do the, and all of it's kind of planned out for you to an extent. So like once you graduate uni, that's it. That's like, let me make this, how do I make this sound nerdy? It's like you've reached the end of like your free trial.
And now you're free trial.
Now, like you have access to the rest of like the rest of the service, you know what I'm saying? So personally, I'm excited because doing co-op and internships, stuff like that, failed my degree. I just like the work life better. Not having homework, not having to study, whatever. It's not having like late nights if I'm late nights if I want to, if it's okay, if I really want to work on this, or really want to edit this podcast, or really want to get stuff done, but I don't need to, like 5 o'clock, for whatever your shift hits, or I guess you, it's kind of different because you kind of work for yourself, but like time hits, I'm done working, close my laptop, don't think about it. Also money, you know, like making money versus I spend way too much money to be here. Really hurts my soul seeing that 10K. I'm like, come on, get my account for tuition. But like, I'm scared a little bit just because, yeah, it's unknown, right? And I don't know what I'm going to do after. Like, I don't really have anything set up at this point. So also because I feel like once you're out of school, it seems like life just starts to speed up. Like everything's going to start hitting.
Yeah.
Like you got to start paying bills. You got to start thinking about like, oh, I got to find a place to live. You got to think about moving out, like all this other stuff. And like, I'm chilling right now. I got to think about that. I got to pay. I like minimal bills to pay, you know, but so it's definitely cool and scary at the same time. It's a weird spot to be.
Yeah. And it's good to just enjoy like where you are right now, because like it's going to be like you'll be crossing the stage before you know it. It's good to just be chilling.
Unfortunately, I still got to get grad photos and apply for graduation. The fact you even have to apply for graduation.
I'm just going to follow your lead because I don't know what to do.
We got to apply. We got to take grad photos. I think that's all we have to do, to be honest. They're not even that expensive. It's like 25, 35 bucks. So unless you want to do like, some people do like all the outdoor photos. They want to bring their pets or whatever.
Their pets?
Yeah, some people. Yeah, like my friends, she didn't like bring her cat and like take photos with the cat. To be honest, if I had a cat, I would do the same thing. I'm a big cat guy. But
no, I actually have had
it. It was your emotional support throughout the year.
I have had a few like photography clients that I've taken grad photos with on campus.
Really?
I don't know if I would do it. Like, I don't know if it.
I mean,
I just feel like this is where.
Then again, yeah, being someone who does photography, would you get other people to do photography for you, or do you kind of do all yourself on your own?
Honestly, I feel like I've trained my sister to just take the photo and then I edit it, because like, I don't know how else. Like, I'm super picky about it. And it's also like, you kind of like, photography becomes so much like work. And that's like another thing. It's hard to find that balance. Like, now I'm going to go off on a tangent, but like when your creative like life is your work, you start kind of losing interest in just being creative for fun. And that's like another thing that I feel like is really important. Like maybe a piece of advice or something is have a separation between the two, because like sometimes I just want to create for fun, but then I'm like, oh no, I should be working on this project instead, or I should be like working on my portfolio instead. And like, you kind of lose that. That's like a battle for sure. I'm sure like a lot of artists have that battle, but there definitely needs to be like separation between personal, just for fun, and allow yourself to just do stuff for fun. Like, you don't have to be good at it. Don't be scared of being bad at it. Like, don't be scared of trying something new and being really bad at it, because we all start from there. Just don't be scared of being bad at something new.
Yeah, that's why I personally refuse to do like commission for art, because I know. But like when I was younger, I wanted to do animation and stuff like that. And I was looking at going into like art school. But then I was like, if I start doing this and I start like, this is my job now, I'm going to hate like creating art in any capacity. So I shut that down very fast. Granted, marketing is still very close. So, but I just like, it's kind of nice where I can, all my art is kind of on the side now. I don't feel the same way. Like, it's like, I should be working on my, sometimes I do still feel like that. I should be working on my portfolio, or I should be working on my own personal content. But then I was making content for school. I was making content for work. I was like, I don't feel like making content for myself anymore, because I've done it in all these other places now. So that's to say, don't spread yourself too thin. Don't do the same thing in too many places, basically.
Yeah. And then to go back to grad photos, I feel like it's just going to be weird, because I'll be like micromanaging like the photographer, just like watching. So I know exactly what I want it to look like. And I'm just like, it is what it
is.
It's
like when the doctor goes to the doctor's
office. Yeah, are you sure it's not this?
So you're in your last year of university. Any advice you'd like to give to younger students?
I have a few things. First one is, I can't emphasize how important it is to still explore your hobby as much as you can, as much as you can dedicate time for it, because that's pretty much what I did. And it turned into like a few businesses on the side, or I guess kind of schools on the side, the business come first, or like however you end up doing it. But it's important to know who you are and know what you like before you graduate, because I think I was like in this mindset of like, oh, I'll start this business when I graduate, or I'll do this when I graduate, like when I graduate. But I think it's important to just like start and kind of explore it, because you might change your major, and that's what happened to me. And I changed it like twice just based off exploring what I like. That's like a piece of advice. Don't be afraid to change your major. I know that's like a taboo to like not finish school in this amount of time, but like don't feel like you have to follow a timeline that like other people follow, that you have to graduate by a certain age. Like make sure by the time you graduate that you're in something that you love and that you know is good for you and like that appeals to your interests. So make sure you explore your interests. And we kind of talked about this before, but it was like, be a good like just classmate group member, because you never know who your future like clients will be if you're going to be like a business owner, or even like you don't know who your future like dentist will be. Like it could just be like a bad group member of yours or something. It'll be awkward. So I think just network, not necessarily in the traditional sense, but like you can just do it like in a chill way through class, whatever. Just have good connections. And also open yourself up to connect to people that are also passionate in the areas that you are. So in marketing, it's cool because I feel like a lot of us are creative and a lot of us like art. So it's been cool to connect with people in marketing. And that's like, I actually have like a lot of like artist friends through just my major. So that's been cool. Like find people who have similar interests as you. And I think a lot of people use that as advice, but it really is true. And yeah, I think those are my kind of three things for advice.
Okay. I like all of those. So that's really,
say the piece of advice you would give.
Well, you guys are the ones graduating. So, Ojo, do you have an advice?
Put on deodorant.
Yeah, put on deodorant.
I've switched my majors two times, I think. Yeah, so like, I don't know. I just kind of agree that if you're not happy with what you're in right now, just switch. Like, if you have the opportunity, just do it. Like, I would say that I'm definitely happier with my major now. And what it meant. So
I remember being super miserable and then seeing a friend on like a train ride home, and he just like completely convinced me to switch majors, and that's when I got into marketing, and honestly it was the best decision ever. So shout out to that friend. Shout out.
For me, I think I was lucky that I did marketing from first year and stayed in it, because I guess I went through the switching majors before I even got into school, because I was thinking, oh, I'm going to go to art school, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then even before I got in, I even got accepted to like biz and kin at the same time. I was still debating doing kinesiology. So I kind of did all my switching before I even started, which was nice. So I didn't have to not waste time. I don't think you guys wasted time, but I didn't have to spend extra money doing stuff I didn't want to do. But first piece of advice, wear deodorant. I'm gonna be honest, I don't know what it is, man. Maybe because we got more people on campus this year, but some of y'all gotta fix up.
You've never been to a comp sci class. Not gonna lie, whatever they say, kind of true.
Because I mean,
not gonna drag. I'm not trying to drag, but come on, people.
I remember my first year, not even first year, the first day of first year. Actually, orientation day. So day zero, I guess you could call it. My engineering friend texts me and he's like, bro, everyone smells bad. He's like, school hasn't even started and the eng kids already smell bad. So I know it's a meme. I know it's a joke, but first tip, wear deodorant, please. Second tip, just be more friendly in general. I feel like there's a lot of people post-COVID who are just kind of like closed off, like isolated themselves. And I would argue the second most important thing you can get from business, aside from your degree, is connections and friendship. Like, because respectfully, I'll be honest, I got jobs not through, because everyone's going to have a degree. Everyone's going to have some form of experience. Like, you need things that are going to set you apart. And what's going to set you apart is, hey, I know this person, or hey, I had this project and like they think we're cool. Or like for me, this doing this podcast got me a job like at a software company. Like, so I know I got into tech and they let me run their podcast. So it's like, it's literally doing things that are outside your comfort zone. Cause I never thought I could get on the mic ever when I was a kid. So doing things that are outside your comfort zone, be open to, I guess that's two things. be more friendly so you can make a network and be open to trying new things. Because a lot of people are like, I'm an accounting major. I do accounting. That's all I do. But if you say yes to more things, you'll just open yourself up to more opportunities. And that's how you get anywhere in business, in my opinion. So,
yeah. And don't get discouraged. That was like another one I was going to add, because I think I spent a total of 3 days in my art and design classes, like when I first started university, and I realized like I can't draw or paint. And I was like, okay, I guess art and design is not for me. That was like a thing. I was like, if you get discouraged, then you won't pursue the things that maybe you're good for, but maybe not in an academic setting. Because I feel like in school, the way they grade you and the way they mark you on things like that is like different than in real life, how it's actually applied. So don't get discouraged if you feel like you really like something, but you don't feel like in an academic setting, maybe it's like not, you're not good at it. Like still keep pushing, get better, and you'll find your way through. And also listen to academic advisors, not your friends. This is like a big one for me, for sure, with like the requirements for the degrees and stuff.
That seems like there's a little personal story going
on
here.
Like, I feel like I would have graduated a year early if I listened to the advisors and not like random people.
Yeah, look at Bear Tracks, people. Look at the What If report. That's so important.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really all we wanted to talk about today. Do you have any questions for us or anything you want to share? You kind of just have the floor here to do whatever.
Yeah, you know, I'd love to know how you guys feel like you've grown maybe as like professionals, as like creatives, marketers through your podcast.
Me personally, I was just really shy and introverted as a whole for a long time. So doing this pod just helped me come out of my shell in general, helped me get better at speaking, get more comfortable with just being around people I don't know as much, and helped me open up my network as well, because I was really worried about like, oh, I'm going to graduate soon and I don't really have a network. But this has gotten me into meeting people from a vast variety of industries, which is nice. But I'd say the biggest part is like, yeah, I'm just a lot more open and expressive now, as opposed to like, I used to show up to class, sitting there for like however long, as soon as class was over, don't talk to anybody, just leave.
Just in and out.
But just in and out, really. That was me, which also another tip for younger students, don't do that. Like, talk to people in your class, because it's going to be a long, lonely 4 years if you talk to nobody in your classes, and then you're going to wonder why you have no friends. But yeah, this pod has done, you know, aside getting me a job,
that's awesome.
It's done pretty good things for me.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah, I was surprised, because when I was like emailing back and forth, they're like, oh, we listened to your podcast. And I was like, oh, damn. Like, I was like, I wasn't expecting it, but like, I'll take it. So that's really, I had something else, but I'm blanking. So I'll let you give you the floor.
Kind of piggybacking off of you, I would say the same things. Like, I'm also introverted, and one of the reasons I did this is, first, I just like listening to podcasts. It's like, why not create a podcast or be part of one already? And also, yeah, just creating a network, meeting more people, and just expanding my network. And I think it kind of did help also with the internship I got over the summer, because they had a podcast as well, and then I talked about that in my interview, so I think that was part of the reason I got hired. So, yeah, I couldn't just do it for fun. It's like one of the things, like the clubs I'm in, I purposely chose because it's something that I want to do, something I want to be in, and also just a way for me to de-stress and like a way for me to just think of something that's not school-related, even if it's a club still at school, but it's not like coursework. So, yeah.
I feel that.
Where do you see yourself, like, after graduation? Like, where do you want to be working in? I'm going off of kind of what you said with the clubs that you chose. Go, like, they are similar to what you want to do. So I'm curious.
Yeah, definitely. I chose marketing for sure. Even if it is my minor, it is, like, the main top, like, industry I want to be in. And, or whatever industry it is, I want to work in, like, the marketing department. It can be like creative or more on the analytical side. That's why I like marketing, is it can be a combination of both. But if I, like, my dream job probably work in some sort of sports marketing or Spotify. Like, if it's a dream company to work for, Spotify for me.
That's so funny because I'm like the same. Like I see all the Spotify, LinkedIn job posts and I'm like, okay, what do I need to do? Like,
I think for me, I'm similar to you where I want to try like the more marketing analytics and data side. There's also a little bit more money in that than creative. So that's like a nice place to start. Also because I'm doing creative right now. So like my next position, I would like to try something else. I don't really have a dream job, to be honest. Like I have sectors I'd like to work in. Like I'd love to work in tech or work in sports. But there's no specific role I want to do. I mean, in 5 years, I just hope I am at like just doing what I want to, really. Like I think it's too, because I feel like everyone makes plans. Like, oh, I'm going to graduate by this year. I'm going to get a job by this. I'm going to buy a house by then. And all of my plans are in shambles. So I'm going to think I'm going to stop making concrete, like, set things and just be like, I want to work towards a single goal, you know? And that goal is really just to get a decent job at this point. So, and also,
you will, you have a lot.
Yeah. And also start making my own content outside of work and school, which I think would be more fun. Not more, this is fun too, but like I think would be more rewarding. Yeah,
share your profile, your portfolio, your business. Yeah, share, plug.
I'm just gonna plug everything. We love to work with student-led initiatives, so anyone that's looking to start anything that needs guidance or like help or advice, or like we can even book like a consultation call and just see how we can help you guys, hit us up at dazedstudios.com or Dazed Studios on Instagram. That's DAZD, or me personally on Alex Zivko Instagram and everything else. So yeah, I'd love to help anyone, any student especially that's like looking to start anything, just doesn't know exactly where to start or need some guidance. I'd love to help. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I'm really honored to be the first student guest here, and I hope there's more that I can like listen to and learn from. I hope this was valuable for at least one person. Then we're good. And yeah, I'm excited to see where you guys take this podcast, and I'm excited to see where both of you take your career and journey outside of school. So thank you again.
We just got finished speaking with Alex Zivko. That's her Instagram specifically. Her little last name is a little hard to pronounce. I'm not going to try. But it was a ton of fun. We talked all things from design, 3D art, marketing, branding, strategy. She was our first student, like I mentioned earlier in the intro. So we did talk a little bit about school and stuff like that. Not too much slander. I know in previous episodes, we've gone on tangents about different classes and stuff like that. So I promise we didn't rag on you guys too hard. But thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. And if you want to connect with us more, you can follow us on Instagram at marketingmajor.mp3. We are a product of UAMA. That Instagram is UAMA_Alberta. Make sure to give us a like, a follow, whatever platform you are on.
If you want to send us something, send us a voice message through Anchor or the Spotify, like our page, Spotify page, or DM us if you want to be on the pod, or if you have any questions that you'd like for us to ask for next guests.
Once again, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.